Hello, welcome to the New River Church podcast. We're so pleased to have you join us today. We hope that today's message uplifts and inspires you. If you would like to learn some more about New River Church and what we're all about, just check us out at newriverchurch.org.
Good morning, New River family, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and mother-like figures here today. I want to give a special Mother's Day shout out to my wife, Jasmine, who, despite being about a month away from the birth of our son, has allowed me to speak. She's home right now. Thank you for giving me the time and space to extend from my home ministry in preparation for today. I would also like to thank our pastors for inviting me to give a sermon today. It is truly an honor, and I'm thankful to each of you for presenting this opportunity to me. Lastly, I want to thank everyone here, the New River community, for embracing me and extending love to me, my wife, and our daughter, Sarai. With all of that said, today is a special day. It is not only Mother's Day, but it is also an opportunity to talk about something that affects us all in one form or another. Leading up to today, I dealt with some internal conflict. A part of me wanted to get up here and showcase that I am theologically sound, to flex my knowledge of Scripture, and to impress you all with a good word. We all love those. I wanted to deliver a sermon that proved my worthiness to be up here. Not only is that an haughty heart posture, but that is a stark realization that I ultimately wanted to do what I wanted to do. Frankly, my desire to impress was an attempt to mask something that would have been very evident to all of you had I gotten up here and not spoken about it. As you may or may not know, I am referring to the recent painful loss of my mother. She passed on October 21st of last year, exactly a month before her 76th birthday. As I planned for today, God sought my attention. And it's His divine timing that there was an open slot for me to speak on this special day, Mother's Day. It's not a coincidence that on this Mother's Day, I accepted, despite having lost my mother just 7 months ago. This is bigger than I am. It's not just me. I know for a fact that there are others who have lost and continue to grieve their mothers, and this day brings a lot of pain. Whether it's been 7 months, 2 years, 10 years, or even 30 years and beyond, the pain never goes away. Some of you have lost your father, a spouse, a grandparent, a sibling, a child, or a best friend, maybe a combination of all of those. Perhaps you experience ambiguous grief. Maybe you were forced to retire early, or maybe the idea that you never lived up to your potential has you grieving the life that you never lived. Today, I want to talk about that. Grief. Today is a blessed day. A day for joy and celebration, but it is also a day to be honest. And honestly, I grieve my mother every single day. And I know that many of you grieve your loved ones every single day. My mom, Sadie Ruth Price, was a lovely lady with a massive heart. One of her favorite things to do was to bring everyone together. I'm talking family, friends, friends of friends, shoot, even the mailman and his neighbor's puppy to feed them. She loved everyone she crossed paths with dearly and genuinely. Even if she only met you once, she loved you sincerely. That's just who she was. She was a fascinating woman. She had a great sense of humor, too. I often reminisce about a time when I was just chilling in my room, doing whatever I was doing, and heard her yelling at the top of her lungs, "Darren, Mikey, come here!" I go running to the room, expecting the worst, right? When I entered the room, she was sitting there with a smirk on her face and simply asked, "Why you got a big head?" "What? What? Ma, this is what you called me in here for." "Really?" she replied endearingly. "Yep. So why is your head so big?" She'd often call me in similar ways. More often than not, I'd stay. And we'd have in-depth conversations. We would discuss many different topics, from current events to politics, books, movies, the latest storylines in The Young and the Restless and The Bold and Beautiful, My Big Head Again, everything under the sun we would talk about. I miss those conversations. The conversations I remember the most are the ones we would have about the goodness of Jesus. Fortunately, she knew Jesus. Seeing my mom growing up, she would always say, regardless of the circumstance, "Thank you, Jesus." That's something that always caught my attention. When she passed, though it was hard and still is hard, I can't help but say, "Thank you, Jesus." Despite him always being near, I still feel pain. And sometimes feel very distant. This brings to mind our reading for today in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Please open your Bibles and join me in reading this, or you can read along on the slide behind me. "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went on out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come out to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" This passage is one of my favorites, if not my favorite, in all of the Bible. When planning for today, Pastor Robin could tell you, I had a complex, contextual, and indeterminate idea for a sermon that was essentially three sermons combined. I felt so led to share this passage because one thing I see that helps me understand what God is doing and why I see myself in the text and how you may see yourself in it is Peter stepping out and walking on water. So fascinating. Unfortunately, I didn't walk on water when I stepped out of the boat. I immediately started to sink. When my mother passed, I realized that grief is a very devastating thing. I've lost many loved ones, and I grieve them, but there is nothing like the grief of losing my mom. I come to realize three things about grief. Many of you here may be able to empathize with them. Point one, grief is unwavering. One moment you can be fine, and the next grief can knock you off of your feet. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and saw the storm, he second-guessed his faith and started to sink. One thing to realize is that the storm was always around him, even while he walked on water. Nothing about the environment made it easier for him to walk on water. Just like that storm on the Sea of Galilee, grief is unrelenting. It's a steady barrage of violent waves hitting you and sweeping you into his grip. Some days, it may be as subtle as gentle splashes on your ankles. But others, it can feel like a tsunami crashing through a lonely island, demolishing everything in its path. Today, for me, is somewhere in between. It's hard to walk on water. Even on ice, we wrestle to remain steady and upright. So again, unlike Peter, I don't walk on water. When I step out, I immediately start to sink. Even though I know Jesus is right there, I struggle to catch my breath. I become disoriented, which brings me to my second point. Grief is disorienting. It reminds me of when I take a joyride. I love driving around with no agenda. It's one of my favorite pastimes and opportunities to shut my brain down, partly. It's a brief getaway for me. Sometimes in the morning, especially on Fridays, I'll get up early to get Jasmine and myself a coffee. On my way back home, I'll drive around town in a random direction. I've lived in Manchester for most of my life, so I am familiar with where I go. But one day I left Starbucks and passed Manchester Community College. Instead of taking a typical route I'm used to, I decided to go somewhere new. Rather than taking a turn, I continued to drive straight. Eventually, I took a right down this winding road. I had no idea where I was going, but I was confident in my sense of direction to get me back where I needed to go. Somehow, I approached a sign that said, East Hartford Town Line. Now, I know East Hartford is the next town over to Manchester, but there was no way I should have veered that far off. Instead of turning around, in my pride, I continued to drive aimlessly. I believed I had a good sense of direction. I was wrong. Lo and behold, as I'm driving, I arrive to a sign that says, Glastonbury Town Line. Okay. I start to wonder, what's going on? I know for a fact that I was not too far off base, but I was categorically lost. Add to that, I'm racing against time to get back home to get ready for work, and my wife's iced coffee is starting to melt. Let's remember that. I had to get back home, and panic began to set in. I was driving the way I felt I needed to go, but the more I drove, the further away I started feeling from home. Finally, I had enough and pulled up the GPS on my phone. I would have kept going straight on my own. There's that pride again. But the GPS told me to take a right at a light a few feet away. I took the right, and everything started to look familiar within 2 minutes. I thought, wait a minute. I was this close to getting back on track, yet seemed so far away. What is that about? I ended up being only 9 minutes away from home. That, my friends, reminds me of grief. It can be vastly disorienting. As Jesus stands directly in front of me, telling me to focus on him, the waves disorient me, making me feel that I am so far away, causing me to forget my way of life, forgetting that he is the reason I have overcome so much. The passing of my mother brought about many harsh feelings. It was painful, still is. All of it was very disorienting. I did not know if I was coming or going. My sense of direction was gone. That disorientation continues daily. I can go to the store and hear a song that reminds me of my mother, and it can disorient me entirely to the point of forgetting where I am and all about the goodness that Jesus brings. I'm reminded of her every day as I see her likeness reflected in my daughter. This resemblance is evident not only in physical appearance and personality, but also in name. Much to my surprise, after her passing, I discovered that Sadie is a derivative of Sarai. It's a bittersweet reminder that my mother will never see Sarai grow up like she has with all of her other grandchildren. It's a devastating reality knowing that she'll never meet her grandson. This brings me to my third point. Grief is inevitable. The natural progression of life is death. No matter what, we will deal with grief one day. My mother fell ill in 2017, and for 7 years, her health was in a steady decline. All the while, through her faith, she'd overcome every obstacle in her path. By extension, I developed a hope that she would overcome everything because she was that strong. Even in her final days, I believed she would pull through again. Sadly, the last time I interacted with her, she was in the hospital and all her fight was gone. She kept whispering, "I'm so proud of you, son. You have a beautiful family. I love you so much, Darren Mikey." That night, the Holy Spirit informed me that this would be my last conversation with my mother. Despite her being so strong and overcoming various diseases, it was still a shock to the system when she passed. It brought about this understanding of morality and the fragility of life. It struck me to realize that death is inevitable, and simultaneously, grief is also unavoidable. Truthfully, one day you will lose someone close to you. One day your life will get flipped and turned upside down by the passing of a loved one. One day you will experience the pain of grief and feel like everything is unfair. One day you will cry, trying to understand everything that happened. Even more. One day, someone will be grieving you. One day, their life will be turned upside down. One day, loved ones will experience the pain of grief and feel like everything is unfair. One day, they will cry, trying to understand everything that happened. That puts a lot into perspective. Understand that life is fleeting. We have a finite time to leave this world better off than we came into it. It makes me understand that grief is a part of this walk. When I look at Jesus, even he grieved. Jesus grieved Lazarus. Jesus grieved his own life in the wilderness. Jesus grieved for all of humanity. When Jesus stepped out of the boat, he didn't walk on water, even though he could. He didn't even begin to sink. When Jesus stepped out, he was put to death. Through his blood, he grieved us. By his grace, his death brings me hope and gives me hope every day amid my grief. It's not easy. As C.S. Lewis puts it in the first line of his book, A Grief Observed, fear and grief can feel the same. But see, Peter had a choice to step out of the boat. But with grief, the boat will capsize and the waves will swallow you. There is no choice in the matter. As I fight to keep my head above water, Jesus is right there. Though I was afraid of the life I had to start living without my mother, he lifted me up. He can lift me because of what he did for you and me on the cross. He is our beacon of hope amid the storms of grief. When you turn to Jesus and get out of the boat, remember that you are closer to Jesus by the mere act. Whether you walk on water or sink immediately, he is right there. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just know that when you grieve, when the storms of life are heading your way and waves are unwavering, causing you to become disoriented, and when you realize hard times are inevitable, know that even though Jesus may seem so far off in the distance, as soon as you start to sink, he will be right there to catch you. Be encouraged, my friends. There is a light at the end of the tunnel and a Savior right by your side. Do not fret. This message is hard. I know that firsthand, but I do not experience this pain alone. I have my family and the community within my church, but most importantly, I have Jesus, right? Who grieved like none of us have ever grieved, giving me the greatest hope. Before I go, I want to discuss a scene from my favorite movie of all time, Forrest Gump. There are so many scenes I could talk about, but this scene illustrates how grief can be a storm. Forrest and Lieutenant Dan are on their shrimp boat. If you're not familiar with this movie, Forrest set out to be a shrimp catcher in reverence to his wartime friend, Bubba, who had an affinity for shrimp and was killed in battle. Forrest and Lieutenant Dan are attempting to catch shrimp for the umpteenth time and once again fail miserably. At that point, Lieutenant Dan, a jaded man, asks Forrest, "Where is this god of yours?" Immediately, a storm hits the scene, setting out to destroy everything in his path. As the storm whips the boat back and forth in a bold act of defiance, Lieutenant Dan challenges God, even daring him to take his life. The next morning, we see the destruction of the storm. All is destroyed except for the boat. Forrest and Lieutenant Dan both live. From that moment on, they became very successful shrimp catchers. This scene is so poetic to me, and it is fitting for today's occasion because there are various types of grief. Lieutenant Dan grieved for the soldiers who were killed under his command. He mourned the loss of his legs and felt responsible for Bubba's death. He was angry with God and resented the fact that God did not let him die in war to fulfill his destiny. In essence, he grieved his own life. Then you have Forrest, who was grieving also. His grief manifested as honor. He started a career as a shrimp catcher to honor his friend Bubba. Grief is not a monolithic experience. It manifests differently for each person. Regardless of what you may or may not have been told, it is all valid. Understand that it is okay, no matter what you feel today. The one thing that both Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan have in common in this scene is that they both acknowledged, accepted, and succumbed to the grief they each felt. Through that, there is hope on the other side. As I previously mentioned, Jesus's grief is what gives me hope. His grief, his death, has a happy ending. Death is temporary through his resurrection, and life is everlasting. And worship team, you can come on up. Over the last 7 months, Jesus has revealed himself to me time and time again, urging me to step out of the boat and trust him. I struggle every day with grief. But his presence reminds me of Isaiah 53:4 when it says, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows." I'm reminded that I have a Savior who immediately knows my grief. The best part is that he is available to all of us. If you want to give your grief and life's burdens to the Lord today, or even if you just want to meet Jesus for the very first time, I now invite you to the altar for prayer. On this side, someone will be there to pray with you when you come up. Please do. If you choose to go on this side, you can pray independently and give everything to the Lord. The one thing I encourage you to do, regardless, is to come. Take a step out of the boat. Yes, you'll probably sink, as I do every day. But by coming up here, you will be closer to Jesus than if you stay in the boat. If you come, I promise, it will be the closest you have ever been to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I know this word is hard, but I pray that it meditates on the hearts of those who love you. Even if they don't know you or are indifferent to you, may we all know that no matter what happens in life, there is hope and power in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for my friends and family here today who are grieving, having a hard time, or struggling for reasons only you know. I ask that you lift them as they step out of the boat. Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we give you everything. Lord, we know that you are in control, calling each of us by name to step. May we step in courage. May we step in faith, understanding that no matter what happens, we will always land in your arms. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. That wraps up today's word. We are grateful you joined in, and if you would like to hear more or learn more about us, feel free to check things out over at newriverchurch.org.